Hi everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Kat.
And today we're looking at our writing unit. This writing unit is about a really nice place in your home.
Right.
Now, I guess that, like me, you've probably moved a bunch of times over the last, you know, 5, 10 years.
Oh my goodness,
since
yeah.
college, maybe.
I can't even count how many times.
So yeah. It's kind of hard to develop as you keep moving these places in your home. But what mm-hmm. about the home you grew up in?
The home I grew up in, well, it was a big house on a bigger yard. So mm-hmm. we had a lot of really cool spaces for me and my brother to play in, for our pets to play in. For example, we had an orchard and a vegetable garden.
Wow.
Yeah, and a grapevine as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, we grew a lot of things.
Did you have a favorite spot, a favorite corner or place?
I think it ended up being like probably our back patio where mm-hmm. my parents like had a fire pit.
Ooh.
And like we would often have parties with our neighbors and things like that. A really nice place to relax.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I would probably put mine as our kitchen because we had one of those big gas cookers that stays on and radiates heat all through kind of from the start of autumn till sort of middle of spring.
Oh, perfect.
So for most of the year in the UK, it was the warmest room in the house and often smelled of baking bread or cooking. So
oh, that sounds nice.
Big table. And so we could just, you know, I did a lot of my homework there because it was a nicer place to do it than up in my room.
Yeah.
It's warmer and it all smelled nice and you could make yourself tea and everything. Okay, well, that's an idea of some favorite corners. And that's what we'll be looking at in today's writing sample. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the topic and the instructions.
Yeah, so the topic and instructions. So, of course, before you begin doing any writing exercise, we have to keep in mind our topic, and it's important to read the instructions carefully so that you know what you have to do. For example, like if you're doing a persuasive essay, you're trying to convince somebody of something, but in this case, we're doing more of like a descriptive one. So make sure and pay attention to the criteria, read the directions very carefully, like make sure the number of words is correct, the number of paragraphs you must include is correct, that kind of thing. You don't want to make it too short or too long.
Exactly. Because if you write, even if you write a really good essay, if you've not followed the instructions, then your teacher will give you a bad grade because mm-hmm. they'll just go, it's good, but it's not what we asked for.
Right.
So you've got to make sure you know. So our instructions here. Please describe your favorite place at home. Describe everything about this place. The essay should contain more than 120 words, so there's one, mm-hmm. and can be divided into paragraphs. So
okay.
It's not saying two or three. It's just saying divide it up.
You right.
know, don't put it as one big block of text.
Right.
Think about what your topic sentences might be and split them from there.
Yes. Okay. So what is the topic about in this case? Well, of course, as we said, it's about your favorite corner of the house. Here, we're not really talking about a literal corner, so you don't have to be at a place where two walls meet. It's just a part, like a part of a room. It could be your bed, it could be your shower or your desk.
Your outside patio for
yes.
your neighbor's parties.
There's no corners there, but you mm-hmm. know, still. Yeah, it would be a favorite corner or, you know, the kitchen where you like to cook meals, like Pat said, where you
yeah.
have the gas range.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for the first paragraph, you kind of need to explain where is this place? That's where you need to start. Don't start by describing it. Say which room it's in, mm-hmm. which part of the house, and also what it's used for. We could give you some examples. Is this a place where you relax? Is it where you put things? Is it where you have fun? Is it where you do homework? Is it where you spend time with your family? So the first paragraph can all be a description of where this place is, what it's like, and what you do there.
Mm-hmm. So then if you have introducing the corner in the first paragraph, then the second paragraph should be more about describing it and more about why you like this area. So is there any particular reason or is there a story behind how it became your favorite part of the house or for like what you like to do there?
Yeah, some kind of connection to you and mm-hmm. a personal experience.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of grammar, the first paragraph is definitely you want to use the present tense. It's a real place. You use it right now. And you'll want to use the first person. This is my place. I like it because of this. In the second paragraph, you could use some past or present perfect tense to talk about how the corner became your favorite, but you can also use present tense because it still is. Right. So that's an idea of the topic and how to begin it. So now we need to start developing our approach.
Okay, well, our approach is an important one. So this is a narrative article, like we said. So a narrative is a common writing structure, which is kind of like telling a story. It appears quite often in college entrance exams, so it's an important one to know how to write. So narratives are used to describe an experience or an event, usually something that actually happened to you,or an object or a thing or a person. So this unit is a narrative that describes a thing or a place.
Mm, okay, so do we know that paragraph one is going to be about this place and what's in it, what it's like. So that's how we start. Kind of think about what is your favorite place. Consider a few different ideas and pick one, and then start to think about some adjectives that describe this place. Is it comfortable, relaxing, fun, soft, hard?And so on. Think of all the different feeling words that go with that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not only what you think of it, but also using the five sense words, like see, hear, touch, smell, taste. Those are all really great ways of describing a place or a thing, too.
Yeah, what can you see from there? What can you hear? Is there a smell, like I mentioned, baking bread in the kitchen?
Yeah, or you could have
something like that. It feels warm.
Yeah.Or some nice flowers, or maybe you're eating something nice there, like because it's a kitchen table or something like that.
Yeah, so you can kind of describe all the things you can see and do. So that takes care of the first paragraph. In the second one, you'll want to think about what you do in the place. All these different activities, when you do them, maybe how often you spend time in that place, how long you spend there each time. So how did it kind of become your favorite corner? Why is it your favorite place? So think about how you feel. You know, what is the mood that it gives you? Are you happy there? Are you relaxed there? You know, is it your bed so you just feel nice and sleepy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it your outside place where you're having a lot of fun with people so it's always full of good memories?
Yeah.
And memories kind of leads on to the place's history. How long have you been using that place?What has changed about it since you started? Maybe you've changed it. Maybe you've done things to make it suitable for you. Or maybe you've just got a lot of memories of things you and other people have done there.
Right, of course. All right, so now we're going on to the structure and the outline.
So. Yeah, we've kind of got an idea of all the things to think about. So let's kind of start organizing this.
So let's, you know, break it down to its most basic parts, kind of make a skeleton to build it on top of. So first, of course, you have your introductory sentence, and this can also be called a hook.
Oh, that is a good word, a hook.
Yes, a
hook. Because it hooks you and it gets you interested. You're like, oh, I want to read more.
Yeah, so it should always be, you know, a very interesting sentence which makes people want to be pulled into the rest of it. So how could we introduce it? Well, of course, we could just start with,My favorite corner is X, is my favorite corner of the house. I love to spend time in, at, or on, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or maybe I'm never happier than when I'm in something, something. And then it kind of connects an emotion to what's going on.
Or when I want to relax or when I want to have a good time, I go to this place.
Yeah, my special place is somewhere because then we know it's going to be special and we're going to find out why. So you want to read on to kind of get the explanation, something like that. So the one we've got from our basic sample in our magazine this month is...My favorite corner of my house is in my bedroom. So the bedroom isn't the favorite place. It's a corner of the bedroom. It's a particular area in that bedroom.
Right. Okay. So after we've got our introductory sentence, we keep going with our first paragraph, and this is our body text. So this is the text that tells you all of the important information in that first paragraph that we talked about. So the descriptions and the details of the place.So in our basic sample, we have A in the body paragraph A. It's next to my window, so I get a lot of sunlight.
Okay, so that's a description of what can be seen. We mentioned that in our kind of brainstorming, our preparation, the things you can see from this area.
Right.
And so it's next to my window, so there's some physical description and a lot of sunlight, something that you can experience. And the next sentence is also something the person, the writer, can see.I can also see the tops of the trees in the park.
Wow.
So we've got an idea of the view from their window. And we're getting natural stuff here. We're getting sunlight, we're getting trees, we're getting a park. So we can already get a kind of feeling for what makes this person happy.
Yeah, All right, so now we go on to describe what is actually in the corner. Well, it says, my desk is in that corner, so I do my homework there.
Okay, so we've got a student here. We already know what we've got, a piece of furniture. If there's a desk, we know there's going to be a chair.
Right.
And if there's a desk, there's going to be other things in and around that desk.
Right,
and
of course.
And if it's homework, so we know there'll be books, there'll be pens, there'll be pencils.
And maybe a computer.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And the writer also adds, I also keep plants on my desk. So that's a bit of extra information.
Mm.
And it kind of matches what we've already seen about the writer who likes sunlight, who likes to look at trees. We've got plants as well. So
we're
definitely kind of getting a picture that this person likes kind of natural things around him or her.
Exactly. And also it gives us a good idea of the kind of person who's writing this without them actually saying, I like nature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's paragraph one. And its description, we've got almost all of the things. We've got some details about those things that can be seen, that can be, you know, felt because the sunlight might feel warm, and all of the physical kind of things that are around this person.
Right.
So paragraph two moves on to why the writer likes this area. So now we're kind of building in some emotions and some history. So the topic sentence is, I spend a lot of time at my desk and I've set it up the way I like it.
Okay.
So there we've got an idea of time. We know that this person does a lot of presumably homework and other things at their desk. And this person says they have spent time setting it up. They've put things in the right place to kind of make it just the best place for them.
Mm, exactly. So, of course, they elaborate on this by saying, everything I need is easy to reach. So they want to make sure everything's conveniently situated and that they don't really have to leave their desk to get anything that's important to, for example, doing their homework, studying, or maybe doing some hobbies.
Yeah, they don't need to kind of break their concentration. I need a pen, it's in here. I need more books, it's in here. I can reach my textbooks. I can use my computer. I can, you know, maybe there's a space where she puts something to drink, something like that.
Yeah.
So everything is there. Now we get onto a bit of emotion. I can concentrate there because there's all this kind of stuff to use.
Yes.
But I can also relax. And that goes back to being able to look at the trees in the park or the plants on the desk to just enjoy some sunlight.
Right. So it gives you these two good states of being where you can focus on the things you need to do, but you can also feel very like peaceful while you're sitting there. And I think that's an important thing to, you know, relieve your stress.
Yeah, I mean, we've both worked in rooms without windows that look outside, and it's not always fun. Sometimes it's nice to just get up and go outside for some air and a look at a tree.
Exactly. All right, so our next sentence in this paragraph says, I've covered the wall with photos and souvenirs. So now we're getting into how did she set it up the way she likes it? Like she said, she's got some photos, she's got some souvenirs, so she's made this place, or he, into a corner where a lot of memories and special moments are.
Yeah, and these are other things that if you were sitting there and you were kind of feeling like, oh, so much homework, you could look up at a picture and think, oh, you know, there's me with my friends doing something, or there's a trip that I went on, and you'll kind of feel happier.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that will give you the sort of energy and give you the encouragement you need to carry on.
Right.
So the conclusion. Now, a conclusion sometimes goes and repeats the main idea of the article, but it doesn't really need to. In the same way that Kat mentioned about putting in a hook to get people interested, you can also use the conclusion to make a strong statement, something for the readers to remember and take away with them. So we don't want to add some physical description here. The final sentence should really be about how you feel, kind of the strongest feeling that's associated with this place you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in our basic sample, the concluding sentence is, many things in this corner remind me of my happiest experiences. So they're not giving any new information about things that are there, but there is a description of how it makes them feel.
Yeah, and it's kind of a strong sentence to bring everything together and just kind of give you something like, right, now I understand why this person likes this place so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, we'll read through all of that first sample, look at some of the words in it, and then look at how we can make it a bit more advanced with some more interesting English words and grammar. See you in a second.
basic sample. My favorite corner of my house is in my bedroom. It's right next to my window, so I get plenty of natural sunlight. I can also see the tops of the trees in the park across the road. I like watching them sway back and forth in the wind. My desk is in that corner, so I do all of my homework there, but the view keeps me feeling positive. I also keep plants on my desk, which I water every day. I spend a lot of time at my desk, and over the years, I've set it up just the way I like it. Everything I need is within easy reach. This makes it a really comfortable place to study. I can concentrate there, but I can also relax. Moreover, the corner serves as my memory wall. I've covered the wall with photos, and there are shelves for my souvenirs. There are many things on that wall to remind me of all my happiest experiences.
Okay, so that was our first writing sample. There's a few interesting words and phrases there we can have a look at. The first one is sway. We say the writer likes watching the trees in the park sway back and forth in the wind.
Right.
To sway kind of means to move from side to side in a sort of fairly regular motion. It goes one way and then it goes back the other way.
Right.
Imagine, like we say, so trees or other plants being blown in a wind. Or also if you stood and you kind of moved all the way to the left, not so much that you fall over, and then move to the right. You are swaying from one side to another.
Right, exactly. And so with the verb sway, we often use the phrase back and forth afterward. So because back and forth means from side to side, or it could mean from back to front.
Mm.
It just means going from one side to the other and back and forth. Forth is an old way of saying forward.
Yes.
So that's why we would use the word forth. For example, like rocking a baby, rock the baby back and forth.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. Another phrase we've got is in the second paragraph of the article, the writer says the corner serves as my memory wall. If something serves as something, it kind of acts in that capacity. You know, it's just a wall, it's just a corner, but the job it does is being, or acting as would be another way to say it,
mm-hmm.
this person's memory wall.
Right. So it has a different or an additional function.
Exactly. You use serve as to say what it's used for or what it does, kind of the job or thing it is used for.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So that is the full article from the basic sample. And we've seen how we've got the description of the space first and then a bit more personal stuff in the second half, in the second paragraph. Now, this is a good basic sample. You will get a decent mark for that. It's got all the information that's needed. It's got the right number of words and paragraphs. It uses good transitions from one sentence or paragraph to another. We've
mm-hmm.
got words like moreover. We've got also, things like that. However, when you're doing one of these college entrance exams, it's an opportunity for you, the student, to show your teacher or whoever's marking this how much English you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what you can do is try and think about the more difficult English words you know or some of the grammar patterns you have learned and try and use them in the article. Important, make sure you use them in the right way.
Right, exactly. Like it would be a little bit not great if you were to use a word that just sounded really cool, but actually doesn't really fit the situation.
Yeah, if it doesn't have the right meaning, then if you're not sure, maybe don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think, oh, I know a slightly fancier word I can use here, I could use that. And also think of all the grammar patterns you've done and think of when you're supposed to use them and go, oh, this will work as a transition. This will make the sentence longer. This will show I can write a sentence with two or three clauses in it.
Exactly.
Okay. And you can do that, and that will improve your marks because it will demonstrate you've got a good command of written English, phrases, transitions, conjunctions, and you know how to use them in the right way.
Right. Exactly. So it's important to have a good foundation of grammar, but then to add on to it with some more advanced vocabulary.
Exactly. We'll look at some examples after we read the advanced one, and then we'll kind of show you what the writer has tried to do. So let's read through the advanced sample. Advanced sample. I would have to say that my favorite corner of my house is in my bedroom. It's situated right next to my window, so for most of the day it's bathed in glorious sunlight. Whenever I look out of the window, I catch a glimpse of the trees in the park across the road. Watching them sway back and forth in the breeze calms my soul. In that corner stands my desk, so while I do all my homework there, the view keeps me in a positive frame of mind. Over the years, I've arranged my desk so that everything I need is easily within reach. Since I spend so much time there, it's important that my desk is not only comfortable, but also suitable for long periods of concentrated study. What's more, the corner also serves as my memory wall. I've covered it with everything from treasured photos to meaningful souvenirs. These reflect my happiest experiences and fill me with joy whenever I gaze upon them.
Very fancy indeed.
It is a bit more fancy. You've probably noted a few kind of words that are like, oh, that's a more complicated word, maybe some longer sentences. Let's
right.
kind of try and pick a few out as we go.
Okay, so first I think we got situate.
Yeah.
Like it's situated right next to my window instead of just saying it's right next to my window.
Yep.
Well, situate in this instance means it's placed somewhere or it's kind of...
Located somewhere.
Yeah. It's put in a certain way that was intentional, like
yes.
you intended for it to be put that way.
Yeah, you did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the first sample, the writer says, I get plenty of natural sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
In this version, the writer says, the desk is bathed in, or this area is bathed in glorious sunlight. So you can see how it's a bit fancier. If you bathe something in something, it can just mean you kind of wash it. But it also means you sort of cover it in that thing, as if
right.
you are taking this room and dipping it in a bath of sunlight.
Right, yeah, and you can say that you can take a sun bath as well.
Oh, that is fancy. And it's not just sunlight, this is glorious sunlight.
Ooh, okay, so glorious here is an adjective that means kind of like beautiful, but more like in a way that makes you think of heaven and makes you think of something like very, very grand.
It kind of uplifts your mood. Something that's glorious would make you feel like, oh, wow, I kind of feel better that this is in the world.
Exactly.
So in the next sentence, the writer says, whenever I look out of the window, I catch a glimpse of the trees in the park. So it's not just I can see, which is in the first paragraph, I can see the tops of the trees. Here, we catch a glimpse of the trees. So catching a glimpse of something is kind of a fancier way to say I can see it, or I can see these things, but only sort of briefly and not the whole thing. Basically.
Right. Yeah. So if you have a glimpse of something, it means you have a very, very brief or very short look at it.
Yeah. And we often use it as a phrase, catch a glimpse of something.
Yeah. Or somebody. All right. So the next one that seems to be a little bit different from the basic sample is watching the trees sway back and forth in the breeze.
Mm.
So in the first sample, we say sway back and forth in the wind, but then we say in the breeze here. So breeze is also wind, but it's a more specific type of wind. A breeze is like a very gentle wind, which has a nice temperature. It makes you feel nice and relaxed
refreshed,
and calm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it says that it calms my soul.
So in the next sentence, there's a particular grammar structure. In that corner stands my desk. In a more simple way, you can say my desk is in that corner. But in that corner stands my desk. It's sort of inverting it. It's kind of putting the place first, followed by the verb. It's just a different structure. It's the sort of thing that you will probably learn and see in your school textbooks. So the writer is showing here they know how to use it.
Right. And it's a little bit of like a more announcing sort of way. It's like presenting a new fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's by putting the in that corner stands my desk, you're kind of your attention is drawn to the desk.
Exactly.
I would say.
Because my desk is the stressed part of the phrase.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it says it keeps me in a positive frame of mind. The view keeps me in a positive frame of mind. Whereas in the basic sample, we just said it keeps me feeling positive. A frame of mind is kind of the way that you think and feel. The way that your mind is thinking about the world around you. So if you're in a good frame of mind, then no matter what happens, nothing's going to be that bad. But if you're in a negative frame of mind, then everything is terrible. Mm. And yeah, it's just not a great thing.
Okay, so moving on to the second paragraph. The second sentence says, since I spend so much time there at my desk, it's important that my desk is not only comfortable, but also suitable for long periods of concentrated study. So immediately we've got a not only, but also sentence construction. Mm-hmm. So that's showing a slightly more complicated thing that you can use. It's called a parallel structure. So it's got adjectives on both sides. And in the first sample, the person just said, I can concentrate there, but I can also relax. You can see how this one, the desk is not only comfortable, but suitable for periods of concentrated study. It's saying the same thing, but in a much more kind of impressive way, with longer, more interesting words mm-hmm. and a longer, more interesting sentence structure.
Yeah, and then we have the next sentence, or the next two sentences, talking about the memory wall, covering the memory wall with everything from treasured photos to meaningful souvenirs. So we did talk about souvenirs in the first sample, but I guess here we will elaborate on it a bit more.
Mm.
A souvenir is something that you get from traveling, or something that somebody brings back from you.
That's right.
From traveling. And if it's a treasured photo or souvenir, that means it's something that means a lot to you personally, and you have a great meaning attached
yeah.
to it.
So in the first sample, the writer said photos and shelves of souvenirs. Now it's treasured photos and meaningful souvenirs. So mm-hmm. we've added some adjectives. And they've also used the structure everything from A to B. And it's just a way of saying kind of and, or it includes a lot of things, but the way it's written, it kind of adds a bit of kind of like extra structure, basically. Same
yeah.
as we've been saying all along.
Exactly.
Okay, we are almost out of time now. Hopefully that's given you an idea of how you can use grammar and vocabulary to build up your basic sample into something a little more advanced. Try it yourself. Try to use the words and phrases and structures and patterns that you have learned. And I hope this has been a useful example for you guys.
Right. And of course, hopefully it will help you with your writing samples in your future exams.
Indeed. So for English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Kat.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.